Welcome to the Reading Corner, episode 3. Didn't expect to see me doing this when I'm driving, right? But it's one of those. I took an opportunity to record, so let's talk about this episode's book. So for this month, there's a fantasy novel called Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, or Mrs. Norrell. It doesn't have an accent mark, so you can take one or the other. If that title might sound a little familiar to you, it's because you're probably a BBC fan. There was a 4-part miniseries, I think it was, or 5-part miniseries that came out several years ago on the BBC adapting the novel to a miniseries. And miniseries aside, I think the miniseries did do as best as it could. I do have some questions about the casting, but overall it captured the spirit of a novel, I'd say, and did pretty well. But this is not a review about the miniseries. This is a review about the book. So first off, shout out to my dear friend Irene, because she's the one that got it for me so many years ago. And it was a big fat novel, and she knew I loved reading. And yeah, I breezed through that thing. I don't know if it's a compilation of all the volumes of it, but within the big fat paperback, it does break it into 3 volumes. So I'm wondering if they were released as 3 volumes before then, before the paperback kind of combined them all. But anyway, point is, there it is, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell by author to be determined, since I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. Well, the story is about the turn of the century. It is the Napoleonic times. The story takes place in England, but it's during the Napoleonic Wars in Europe, as Napoleon Bonaparte is going about taking over Europe. And at the time, the Council of Magicians, basically, they're being used in some way as counselors or to consult or advisors for the war, or to try to use some kind of magic spells and potions to help the British win against Napoleon. Needless to say, it doesn't go all that well, because by then the magicians are basically frauds. They haven't really practiced magic in so long. So there's this mysterious figure who's been going around buying up all the original magic books, the true magic books. And every time someone tries to, like, a character, in this case Jonathan, every time he tries to basically pick up or find a book of some sort, he wasn't a magician. He didn't grow up as a magician. He was just, you could say, like, similar to an average Joe. He lived out in the countryside. And he comes into the frame later. But the point is that when he finds that maybe he can try to use magic to his advantage to make money, that he can't find these books. And the reason being, that's a later part in the story, the reason being is because someone has been collecting all these stories. So with all these stories being collected, someone starts to figure out who is buying all these books. Apparently, there is a gentleman named Mr. Norrell, or Norrell, I'll call Norrell, who has been buying these books because he wants to collect the original copies of these books of magic and keep them locked away safely for those that actually want to preserve magic. And this Council of Magicians is at odds with Mr. Norrell for this attempt, because Mr. Norrell ends up penning a letter and sending it to this Council of Magicians and calling them out for being frauds. So they basically challenge Mr. Norrell, because they themselves know that magic, it's basically dead, and no one's actually seen real magic. So they kind of challenge him. Like, look, Mr. Norrell, and it's kind of by Mr. Norrell's suggestion that they all basically stop giving a bad name to real magicians and resign their positions as magicians, renounce it entirely because they're frauds. And they say, Mr. Norrell, if you can prove to us that you are a magician, then we will resign from this council. So Mr. Norwell invites them to a chamber in some place. And when these individuals get there, Mr. Norwell isn't there. But real magic happens before their eyes. They're shocked that this is actually real. Because even though they sit on the Council of Magicians, they know it's all just, you know, for show. Because it's a status. And they didn't want to shed that because of aristocracy. But as they're finally called out by a true colleague and someone that possesses true magic, they are humbled by this. I don't recall if they all do resign. I think some of them withhold their resignation. But the point is that Mr. Norrell puts that matter to rest because he is a true magician. And he didn't even present himself at the place. So no one knows exactly what he looks like. One such member of that council is curious about this because he tries to go convince Mr. Norrell that he has probably the final practicing magician should at least teach magic to be passed on to a next generation magician. And Mr. Norrell is super guarded. He's a recluse, antisocial, very eccentric and erratic, and he refuses to do so. So he will not do so. He's just hoarding all these magic books. He's going to keep them locked in his private library, and all the magic secrets will die with him. Now, I don't recall exactly what ends up triggering him to end up taking a learner, a Padawan, to use some Jedi language, to teach him the ways of magic. But what happens is that there is, for those that understand, in this world of magic, there is dark magic available too. There's dark magic at play. And Mr. Norrell understands that there's a balance between good and evil. And he has a strict rule that he doesn't want that line to be crossed. So when the government of, well, the parliament in England, they start consulting with Mr. Norrell and have him assist on different matters of legalese and such and try to get him involved in the war. He refuses to get involved in the war, but he does help in small things here and there, like kind of medicinal stuff. So he does get involved in helping with that, but he refuses to get involved in matters of like taking the life of others or helping in the war because of his refusal to let magic be used for to that end. To help someone kind of like a doctor is a different story for him, so he refuses. But there is dark magic that some people want to tap into, and that's where he wants to guard it, for which is why he doesn't want to take a learner under him. Enter Jonathan Strange. He has a bigger title than Mr. Norrell on the cover for some reason. I think Mr. Norrell is the main character, but Jonathan Strange does take up a bigger title on the cover, at least in my book. And this character, Jonathan, he's not a magician. And he ends up running into some weird, like, deranged, kind of, let's call him a vagabond, named Vinculus. And Vinculus is always spouting off this stuff, kind of like that guy on the street corner, the end is nigh, but he's not really all there in his head, and he's spouting off all these different things. That's kind of how Vinculus is considered. Remember, this is like the late 1800s, okay, in London. And he sells a spell in some chance encounter to Jonathan Strange. And Jonathan Strange ends up trying out that spell, and it works. And it's really difficult for anybody to process what just happened, not even Jonathan, but someone that's, I don't remember exactly how he runs into this, that someone calls him out that maybe you should learn from a true magician because you have some abilities that can be honed and you can exercise and get excellent skill upon. And that's in regards to being able to understand magic, because he was able to summon a difficult spell on technically his first try. So he ends up getting curious about it and such, and as the plot would have it, he does cross paths with Mr. Norrell. Mr. Norrell does not want to train him, but eventually even he's driven by curiosity of Jonathan Strange, hence the name, last name Strange. So Mr. Norrell does end up taking Jonathan Strange under his wing and starts showing him the ropes. The thing is, Jonathan Strange is really good, but slightly reckless. Because he's younger, he's more bold, that tends to happen as story goes, right? That's almost that cliche. But Jonathan Strange is very talented. And he starts becoming a more powerful magician than even Mr. Norrell. And that's where the two end up becoming at odds later on. Because Mr. Norrell's line has a line that he doesn't want Jonathan to cross. And Jonathan is not afraid to cross it because he believes in harnessing all forms of magic to be able to become a more powerful magician. And because he has that attitude, he's not afraid to go beyond. That's how the government or parliament ends up utilizing Jonathan to help them in the war against Napoleon. And some of those battle sequences that are extravagant in the book, to me as a fan of history, it's wonderful to read it in the page. And I must say the adaptation of that in the BBC was really awesome to behold too, because I wonder too how they'll be able to translate those scenes into the those pages onto the screen. And not to talk about the show, but it worked out really well. But anyway, the point is that Mr. Norrell and Jonathan Strange do end up going against each other because the dark doors of magic are opened, and another character to the plot ends up becoming embroiled with this dark magic. And different characters are involved. There's way more than just these two, but I just talked about the main three. The main three being the Mr. Norrell, Jonathan Strange's Padawan, and Vinculus, this mysterious guy that's always spouting out stuff, because he is a very important character in the long run too. So with all this happening, both magicians end up becoming at odds because they've unlocked the door and they got to get control of it, but at the same time trying to rein themselves in because they're dueling magicians at this point. So the reason that might sound familiar to a lot of you is because the movie The Prestige by Christopher Nolan has that sense of dueling magicians. Just that this one was before The Prestige. And the novel itself is just rich in historical lore. So it's an alternate history of the Napoleonic Wars, which I really enjoy. It does recap some time of a new era in science where people didn't really understand science. They saw it as magic, because what other way was there to describe science to people? And some scientists took science to present to those magicians, because that which you could not understand can only be described as the unknown, and what you don't know freaks you out, you know? And I think one that kind of harnesses that kind of environment that this book covers is the adaptation of Sherlock Holmes, the first movie with Robert Downey Jr., where Lord Blackwood is faking all these plot points along his way to control London with fear, because he's harnessed science. He's learned to understand what science is, chemistry and all that, but people don't know that yet. So as it's described as magic, or black magic if you will, people get scared. So this is in essence, in a way, what this is covering, because while some of it is presented as magic being done by magicians, a lot of other stuff is also understanding chemistry. So it's basically early medicine and early science. I absolutely love the story. I'm actually really impressed at how much of the story remained with me, because I've only read the novel once cover to cover. It's a very lengthy novel. And when I watched the adaptation of it on the BBC, I remembered everything. It's like, wow, they really did very well. There's some things that I thought that they weren't going to be able to translate properly, but they did. I'm like, I remember that. I remember the really interesting points. I didn't feel in the novel that, you know, sometimes there's side stories that don't really service the book and it kind of slows things down in the story. Not so. Everything has a purpose, which is why I enjoy that the author did not waste the reader's time and attention with subplots that ultimately go nowhere. These do tie in nicely, particularly a plot involving the dark magic door that was opened by one of the characters. I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to tell you who opened that door. The point is that these characters have to address the fact that they crossed a line they shouldn't have crossed and pay the consequences for those actions. So I absolutely love the story. I highly recommend it. If you're into fantasy novels of sorts, this is one great fantasy novel that it's just really worth exploring. It's fun to read it. Don't watch the BBC adaptation. I name dropped it, but don't watch it without first reading it, because it's such a worthwhile, and honestly, I prefer that you read a book instead of watching something. So by all means, pick up this book, check it out, available in paperback, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So anyway, those are my thoughts on that book. That wraps it up for this episode of The Reading Corner, and I'll see you on the next one. Pick up a book, people.